Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I want to start a new series of thoughts, kind of walking through Psalm 23 little by little. We'll just let the Lord just kind of take us on a journey through this. This is a Psalm of David. It's a personal testimony of David's relationship with God, which we get a lot of that, right? You get a lot of situations in the Psalms about David and his personal struggles, what he's wrestling with, what he's hoping for, all of those kind of things. This is a Psalm that's kind of a testimony. This is a testimony of what David feels about God, how he sees God. And it's possibly the most beloved of all the Psalms. How many is one of your favorites? Yeah, all over. We got it all over. We got it on our plates and walls and screensavers, all that kind of thing. It's absolutely wonderful. And it's probably the best known Psalm of all the Psalms. And this is describing, Psalm 23 is describing the kind of a relationship that we all want to experience with God. And I want to tell you what David describes in Psalm 23 because of all that Jesus has done through his cross, his resurrection, his ascension, his sending of the Holy Spirit. Everything that we're going to see in Psalm 23 is available and possible for everybody who names the name of Christ. It's possible. It's possible. So Psalm 23, Jesus gave his life for us to have the kind of intimacy, the kind of relationship that is described in Psalm 23. Jesus gave his life for us to live like this. All right? And the tragedy is, though, that most believers don't experience this kind of fellowship and communion with God. They don't experience it. So let's get into Psalm 23 and let's just kind of unpack it. We're just going to get like the first four words today, all right? So let's look at this. Can you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Can you do that? Psalm 23, verse number 1. Read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thank you so much for this psalm. And I just pray as we just begin to unpack it over the next several weeks, Lord, that you would just bring revelation. Bring revelation, knowledge, and insight, and understanding so that we can participate in this kind of relationship that's available to every single one of us. As we draw close to you, Lord, you promise to draw close to us. We ask you by your Spirit, show us what we need to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, gang. So this big biblical idea right here, this big biblical theme is this picture that's painted about us and God, the shepherd and the sheep. God uses this time and time again. It's found in Torah, first five books. It's found in the prophets. It's found in the writings. It's found throughout the teachings of the apostles and all the New Testament. This picture of God being our shepherd and we, his people, being his sheep. It's also personified through the relationship of God and his leaders and his leaders and God's people. Oftentimes the king is called a shepherd or sometimes the prophets or the priests are called shepherds. My title, what I really prefer to go by is Pastor Ron. You know, some people when they go places, they call me Reverend Ron. And I'm like, you don't know me very well if you call me Reverend Ron. Because Reverend, I have a problem with sometimes. But anyway, but I prefer pastor. It's just a biblical term. It's a biblical idea. So our relationship together is kind of summed up in this picture of the shepherd and the sheep. So we got God's people are the sheep. And then we have all these other stories at times, especially Jesus' stories. He tells us about this picture of sheep and goats, right? You see that picture from time to time. And the sheep are like God's people again. And the goats are like, that's the other crowd. And even understanding one of the most famous stories Jesus told, like the parable of the prodigal son. That's the only way you can understand that story is to understand the shepherd-sheep relationship. And that sheep went and got lost, didn't it? That's the whole idea. You see this picture everywhere you go. So in order to understand the idea of what it is to be lost and saved, you need to understand this relationship between shepherd and sheep. Right, so understanding this idea will go a long way in understanding your Bible and understanding God and understanding what God wants from us and what God is making available to us. So we're going to see it all kind of unpack in Psalm 23. Psalm 103 says this. It says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Okay? Now see, we all kind of become city slickers in a way. Even country folks now compared to what it was back in biblical days, country folks now are kind of citified, you know. But you kind of got to dial back the pages a little bit and go back into history to see how important that shepherd-sheep relationship. Because you know what? The sheep needs the shepherd for absolutely everything. Everything. 100% everything. Protection, food, nourishment, treatment, care, all of those kind of things. It's a 100% dependent relationship. And that's how we are with God. All right? So what I want to do is I want to kind of take you back a little bit and show you some pictures to kind of get you in a biblical context. And maybe you'll be able to see some pictures and shape some thoughts and understanding as we go through this. So here's some pics. All right? See this right here? This is a shepherd and sheep in a corral. This was taken back probably early 1900s in the 20s, 30s, something like that. The Bedouins, they kind of still live like this. And there's not that many of them anymore, but they kind of still live kind of like Bible day people did. All right. So you kind of see that. You see the corral right there. You see all the sheep. You see they got a few chickens thrown in there. You see the two shepherds. See that idea? Now, here's an ancient picture of David just before he killed Goliath. Okay. So you can go home and tell everybody your preacher's got a picture of David. It's a joke, y'all. Okay. But that's probably what it looked like. You see see the shepherd boy? And a lot of times in the shepherd, the shepherds were the young people of the group. If you go in there today, you'll see the shepherds. They're the young ladies and the young boys of the, you know, 13, 14 year olds, kind of that kind of thing. But what do you see right there with this shepherd? What does he have? What do you see? He's got a baseball bat. What does the Psalm 23 call that? It calls it the rod, right? That's exactly what that is. That's a good thought. What else do you see? Slingshot. That's David. It's a David story right there, right? That's probably what it looked like. You see that rock? Boy, that's a nice rock right there. It looked like a baseball, doesn't it? Yeah, that'll take down a giant. Mm-hmm. With God's blessing. So that's one picture of a shepherd. Now here's another one. They're kind of in the open right there, taking the picture. You see one shepherd, he's kind of laid out. Another shepherd, he's got night watch. Right there. What else do you see? What do you see that shepherd with again? He got him a rod, doesn't he? Why would you need a rod in the wilderness? Because it ain't all Disney World, is it? All right, we'll get to that in a few weeks. It's going to be a minute before we get to that. Now here, look at this. See this picture right here? You see the shepherd. Look at the terrain. That's shepherd country. All right, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that could be Jacob right there. That's kind of his lifestyle. They all lived this kind of shepherding, nomadic lifestyle. Just kind of see the idea. What I'm doing is I want you to think shepherd, think sheep, but don't think about like a farmer in a building watching them on camera. Let's get back. You kind of got to dial back to the context of what's happening here. And you see these pictures and it'll start making sense to you. All right, so now, all of these ideas. Ideas are important, aren't they? And if you hadn't noticed it, in our world, there's a real big battle for ideas on just about every front. Ideas are important because they shape our thoughts and they shape our decisions. And thoughts and decisions shape our lives. So we kind of got a progression right there. You see it? There's ideas. It may come through reading and learning, education. It may come through your raising. It may come through reading a book. It may come through listening to a sermon. It may come from God. It may come from your experience. But we all have ideas that come to us consistently about everything, really. You got ideas. And then you begin to ponder on those ideas. And if you accept those ideas, you begin to make decisions based on those thoughts and ideas. And what decisions you make, at the other end of that idea comes your quality of life, be it good or bad, right? But it all starts with an idea. Everything starts with an idea. Creation started with an idea. It just happened to be God's idea. You started with an idea. It just happened to be God's idea. If you own a business or work in a business, somebody started that business with an idea. They put those thoughts on paper and they begin to manage out those thoughts and meet them out and make decisions and all that. And now all of a sudden you got a plant that has 800 employees, or you got a business that has 3 employees that provides a service for a community or whatever. But it all started with what? It all started with an idea. All right, so now this is where I'm going with this. Scripture throws out some ideas to us. A lot of them come in the form of stories, or like this one's a poem. Throws out some ideas, and these ideas are meant for us to meditate upon, to think about, to ponder, to take them into our lives so that we are able, on these ideas, these God ideas in Scripture, we are able to build our lives on truth and not lies. So the Word of God is constantly speaking to us about ideas concerning God, ideas concerning who you are. Let's just take that idea about you. Okay, you tell me which idea is going to turn out better, which idea is going to push out on the other end of quality of life. Okay, here's an idea. Over a period of millions and millions of years, you evolved from amoeba, turned into a slime, turned into a monkey, turned into you. That's an idea. Not a lot of glory in that idea. That's an idea. We're being fed that idea constantly. Our school children especially. That's an idea. Here's another idea. You were created in God's image and God's likeness. And He gave you responsibility and authority to rule and reign on this earth and gave you a life. And it's a gift from God. And you are created in His image and likeness. That's an idea. Now you tell me which one's going to create a better human. The monkey or God? You want to know why we're acting crazy and the world's gone berserk and acting like animals? We've been telling them for years and decades now that they came from monkey. No wonder they... Never mind. I better just leave that alone. You know what I'm talking about? Ideas matter. The things you think about matters. The way you view life matters. The way you view God, the way you view you, it all matters. Where are you going to get your ideas from? Because there's a battle over them. And they're coming from all different directions, all kind of voices. Ideas are important. Will you embrace God's idea? Or are you going to follow after all the other ideas? We got a choice. It's laid before us. It's like that tree thing again, like it was in the garden. We always had that choice laid before us. Are we going to eat from God and His trees? Or are we going to go over to this other tree He said that you don't need to bother with? You know, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. Only God ideas lead to eternal life and joy and peace. We got to have those ideas. You got to understand them. You got to process them. You got to digest them. Take them in and live on those ideas. All right? And our world is currently in a mess collectively because we think we have better ideas than our Creator. You know, that's why we're in a mess. All right? So, here we go. Who are you going to embrace? Embrace God's ideas or other ideas? All right? Here's an idea. Here's a big idea. It's huge. Psalm 23:1. Read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's an idea. I mean, that's a really big, huge thought. That's a big idea. And David's come to realize this. And he speaks this full of confidence, faith, and trust. He looks back on his life and his history, and he's at peace. He looks at points in time when he thinks about Goliath and all the lion and the bear that preceded Goliath and all the things that happened with Saul and how God had done it. And he said, you know how I made it? I didn't make it because I was David and I'm a rock star and I'm doing all the great things. I made it because the Lord is my shepherd. That's why I made it. He understood. And David says right here, I live with no worries and no fear. I don't want for anything. Let's say it like this. I have no lack because the Lord is my shepherd. I have no lack. See, it's the fear of lack that produces all of the anxiety and worry and stress in the world, in us. Like, will I have enough? Will I have enough for retirement? Will I have enough for the car? Will I have enough for the kids? Will I have enough for my health? Will I have enough for... You just fill in the blank. It's pressing on all of us, isn't it? All the time. Will I have enough? Or maybe even a bigger question, am I enough? Am I going to be able to meet the challenge? Am I going to be able to be the husband or the wife that I need to be or the parent that I need to be or the boss that I need to be or the employee that... Am I enough? And it's this whole idea of lack and how the enemy magnifies all of our the things that we don't have. And he magnifies all of that. And with all that magnification of all the things I don't have, produce all the worry. produces all the fear that keeps us in bondage. So he gets us to look at what we don't have because he is terribly afraid for you to ever see what you truly do have. You tracking with me? The question we're going to build the whole next few weeks off of. Is it possible to live without worry, anxiety, and fear? Is it possible? Is it possible for you to live without worry and anxiety? Hey, no condemnation here, but there's a real concerning thing that's happening in our population. Over half of our population is medicated because of anxiety. And this idea right here, if you will take this idea into your thoughts, all this idea of Psalm 23, take these ideas, take them into your thoughts, process them, live on them, digest them, get them in. I promise you, I can promise you, if you take them into yourself, your anxiety will leave. It will heal your body, and these ideas right here will heal your mind. You know how I know that? Because it's the Word of God. It's got power. You see what I'm talking about? So is it possible for you to live without that anxiety and all that worry and all that fear? Absolutely. You know, one of the most often things Jesus said, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Fear not. Over and over, page after page after page after page. Why is he? He's telling you there's a life that you can live that has no fear. Didn't say it didn't have trouble. He said you don't have to be afraid. Didn't say there wouldn't be challenges. He just said you don't have to be afraid of it. Why? Well, it all depends on who your shepherd is. And here's what he says. Who is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. Now, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? That's the word right there in Psalm 23, the word Elohim. Or excuse me, it's the word Yahweh. But back in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created. That's the word Elohim. Who is the Lord? Well, he's Elohim. He's the eternal God of majesty and glory. That's who the Lord is. He's the God above all gods. He's Elohim. He's our creator. We see that in Genesis 1 and 2. He's our creator, the maker and sustainer of all of heaven and earth. So we don't have to worry about creation collapsing and global warming just burning us all up. This planet don't belong to us. It belongs to Him. He's going to take care of it. And what you're seeing in all the political jargon and all the mess that's going and why your taxes are going to go up and all everybody's there trying to get you to buy something with a battery operated in it. You know, if they can get them down to double A's, I can do that, okay? You know what? You know what? It's people talking that don't know their Creator. You know what I'm talking about? Now, we still have responsibilities. We need to take care of the planet, all that kind of thing. We've got a stewardship to do with all that. And we don't like to drink polluted water. It doesn't do you good. But all the stuff that's coming out of our government right now is godless. They call it green, but it's godless. And I'm not even talking with politics. I'm talking with a viewpoint, an idea. And who thinks we can fix the planet? See, that's pretty arrogant, isn't it? That's the epitome of arrogance. You can't even fix you. You have trouble fixing dinner. We gonna fix the planet? Come on now. They can't even run the government. They gonna run the planet. Now, never mind. We done gone over here. We done gone messed up now. We gotta get back. Y'all got so you just get out there and you just, whoa, that's a limb. We about to step off. He's our creator. He's El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God, the all-powerful one, the only wise God. That's who the Lord is. And David's pondering over all this, and he's got all these challenges. I mean, he had a full life. A lot of enemies. And he said, I face it all without fear because the Lord is with me. The Lord. Elohim is with me. My Creator is with me. El Shaddai is with me. Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God. We use our English word Jehovah right there. Got kind of transliterated into Jehovah. But it's the idea of the great I am. That's the word he actually uses right here in Psalm 23. That the great I am is my shepherd. I am that I am is what he told Moses on that day. That's God's name. And I am whatever I need to be whenever I need to be it. I can do all things at any time that I deem necessary. That's the great I am. He's the unchanging, all-sufficient, eternal, self-existent, self-sustaining Lord of all. That's my shepherd. Now you begin to ponder on that, and you think about your shepherd going with you to work, your shepherd going with you to meet that need or do that job or take care of that family or do whatever you got to do. You think about God Almighty, Elohim going with you, Yahweh going with you, and that's going to change your day. That's going to change your perspective. It's going to change. That's going to put a little spring in your step. I mean, that's better than having your big brother with you. You know what I'm talking about? And this God that David calls the Lord, Yahweh, this is the God who makes promises to us. See, all the pagan religions teaches us how to make promises to God. Your Bible teaches you that God is the God who made promises to you. That's amazing. You tracking? Y'all are real quiet in here this morning. Y'all making me work too hard. I'm tired, y'all. Y'all got to help me. It's a big idea. The Lord God Almighty, the maker of the universe, the great I am, is my shepherd. I don't lack anything. And now here's our faith right here. The good shepherd who takes care of his people, Yahweh, stepped down from above, took on human flesh, and became Jesus. That's a big step. That's a big faith leap right there. That God Almighty, the God of Psalm 23, took on human flesh, and Jesus comes on the scene. And by the time we pick him up in John chapter 10, verse 11, he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know what he's saying right there? If you know your text at all, you go back to Psalm 23 and connect it right there with John chapter 10. There's a lot more in John chapter 10 too. Y'all take a read of it this week. Pulled Psalm 23, pulled John 10 together. And Jesus is saying, I am the shepherd that David talked about in Psalm 23. That's who I am. The good shepherd who takes care of his sheep. I am the good shepherd. And here's the truth for us as Christians. If you have Jesus as your shepherd, you have no lack in your life. Come to terms with it. Realize that. Stretch your faith out in that direction. I have no lack because he's with me. All right? You catching? Old boy said, you catching what I'm throwing? And because you walk with Jesus, the good shepherd, you have everything you need because you have him. All right? Now let's keep this idea. Remember the miracles. Many, many miracles we could talk about. We could take the rest of the time talking about Jesus' miracles. We could even come to modern day stuff about his miracles. But rewind back to John. It was the very first miracle that John recorded. Jesus turned the water into wine. These miracles are giving us ideas about Jesus and teaching us about our shepherd. Why in the world did he turn the water into wine? Because that's what they needed. And it wasn't just any old wine. You know, there's all kinds of preachers that come on to the deal and say, well, that was just like sweet tea. Oh, shut up. It was wine. It didn't turn into no something like sweet tea, like grape juice. It wasn't grape juice. That guy that knew about wine and drunk wine all his life. And anybody in here, you know, I know you ain't supposed to raise your hand. Just sit on for a minute. You ever drank grape juice? You ever drank wine? Is there a difference? Ain't no doubt. I guarantee you. He turned it into wine. And the guy who was the drunkest at the party said, man, this is the best wine I ever had. This is good stuff. Okay, so never mind. What's he doing? He's showing you that he is the God that can take care of every need, even that kind of need. It's painting a picture for us. It's giving us an idea of Jesus. It's giving us an idea of who he is. Now remember the two feeding miracles we got. You remember the one especially of the little boy who brought us two fish and five loaves. Remember that? And he gave... What's Jesus showing us right there? Is he just doing a parlor trick just to show everybody? No. He's showing you that he is the God that no matter what kind of situation you get yourself into, you take what little you have. It's not even enough to meet the need until it passes through Jesus. And once that little bit that you give God, whatever that might be, that little bit of sacrifice, because there's going to be sacrifice, you give that little bit to Him. And it's hard to let go of that little bit sometimes. But if you give that little bit to Him and it passes through Jesus, boom, it explodes. And it can do miraculous things. See, they had lack on that day. Until Jesus, the shepherd, showed up and did His thing. So we pick up these stories. Now, don't let these stories be lost on you. They're not little Sunday school, just children's stories for us to tell our children. They're stories for us to build our faith upon so that when we get in a situation and the ends don't meet, you know how that deal is, the ends don't meet? What do you do with that? What do you do with it? Well, you give it to Jesus. Whatever He asks for, you give it to Him. And then watch Him, see what He does. These are faith-building stories and ideas to help us. And it shows us that Jesus is not from this world. He's something else. I mean, He really is something else. He's from another world. And it shows us that Jesus had learned to live as a human. He learned to live off of the limitless resources of heaven. See, the world Jesus was living from didn't have a fish and loaf problem. And Jesus reached into that realm and pulled it down into this realm and said, here, you don't have any lack. Boom. He prayed a prayer and that fish and five loaves exploded and fed over 5,000 people. He's showing us that there is unlimited resources, limitless resources in heaven. And if you get Jesus involved in your life, anything is possible. You realize that? Anything is possible. And here's the good news for you and I. Jesus lives off of those unlimited resources, and He's willing to share it with those who follow Him. That's what He's telling us. I'd like to get in on some of that, wouldn't you? Here's another idea. Now, you get this idea from knowing the land. And I've been blessed to go over there and study and do a lot of things and do a lot of hiking over there. It's just absolutely amazing. I recommend anybody can go, especially if you're healthy enough to walk and go. And I'm going to go over here for too long. Anybody want to go with me? Well, let's let it calm down over here a little bit first. But yeah, I'd like to go. So you get this idea from knowing the geography and the land. Shepherd country was mostly desert country. Now, there were shepherds in other parts of the country, but the most part of the shepherding was done in the southern part. Let me show you some pictures here. Now, here's a map. Okay, you got Israel right here. Can you see that? The whole thing's kind of Israel. On the bottom half is Judea, or Judah, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin down here on the bottom. You see Jerusalem right there, kind of where that red line is in that area. Where that red box is, that's shepherding country. All right? That's wilderness. That's kind of free range land type stuff. It's rugged. It's steep. It's mountainous. It's dry. It's rocky. This the picture I'm about to show you, this is the scenery of David's life as a shepherd. All right? Now, David's from Bethlehem. Bethlehem's right in that square right there. All right? Now, Israel is known as the land that flows with, anybody been to church and heard that old gospel song? Flows with milk and honey. The milk and honey. Milk has to do with the sheep and the goats. That's where they get the milk from. That's the southern part. That's the land that flows with milk. The land that flows with honey, that's the northern part. If you notice even on this map, it's a little greener up in the northern region because it rains more. And what do they have in the northern part? It flows with honey. What makes honey? Bees. And they got all the pollination and all the flowers. And it's still that way today. So it's the land that flows with milk, that's shepherd and sheep, and honey. That's all the foliage and all the greenery and all that kind of stuff that's in the northern part. Just a little side note right there. Now look at this. You see this? It's a flock. What do you see in that flock? Well, we see some sheep. What else do you see? You see rocks? Yeah. You see goats? You see that right there? I kind of, this was taken with my camera, by the way. And you see this right here kind of zoomed out, the same idea. You see the flock right there? I don't think I have a pointer. Oh, yeah, I got a pointer. See, what's that? What's mostly that right there at the top? Sheep. What's mostly this right here? That's goat. That's goat. Y'all get in with your Jesus stories now. That's a picture of several Jesus stories right there. What does he say he's going to come to do one day? He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, right? Just picture. Just kind of help. And when I saw that picture, I mean, 15 stories came to mind. It's just amazing how this all happened to me. Now look at this. This is the Judean wilderness. Look at that powerful countryside right there. That's shepherding country right there. All right? That's the desert. And then right here in the foreground, you see an oasis. He leads me beside still waters. See, the shepherd knows where the oasis is. If I'm left off by myself, I'm going to wander these mountains. I'm going to die. But the shepherd knows where this is. He knows how to get there. That's kind of like verse number 2, isn't it? Now look at this here. Some more of this Judean, kind of zooming back a little bit. This Judean wilderness. David walked those hills with sheep. I got some aerials I'll show you before too long. Where you know you'll go up to these places and you'll see sheep walking these mountains with shepherds. It's a pretty powerful countryside, isn't it? Now think about this. See, we don't think about this when we read Psalm 23 unless you know the geography. Because we think about, you know, like England, they got 3-foot alfalfa in England. And that's where the sheep they all eat. It's not like that in Bible days, not in David's day. That's not what he's not writing from that perspective. David's life is like this desert. All right. You see this? Now this is the rainy season. Happens a couple months out of the year, something like that. They only get somewhere like in this region 5 to 8 inches of rain. We might get that next week. You know what I'm talking about? Seriously. But they don't, that's like annual. It's not much. But this is kind of what happens to that desert blooming grass coming up after the rainy season. Right? That'd be a good day for a sheep, wouldn't it? Now here, let's see that. Just more of that dry, barren wilderness. The desert. So now let's get this idea. This idea. Life is like walking through this desert. That's an idea. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, am I not going to want because I'm always going to be walking in grass that's knee high? It's not going to be like that now. Life is like this desert. It's rough. It's difficult. It's rugged. It's hard. It's challenging on every turn. It's threatening on every turn. You can die, and this life is a struggle. You know that already, right? It's a struggle. That don't mean you got to be depressed about it, but it is a struggle. It takes about everything you got if you're going to be successful in whatever endeavor you got to get into. This idea of, you know, you got responsibilities. You got all these things that God's called you to do, and what God is calling you to do is to do all the things He's called you to do. The work, you can't quit your job. You got to take care of those kids. You got to take care of the family. You got to do all the responsibilities He sent your way. Take care of the ministry He's got for you. This is God's idea. He wants you to do all those kind of things, but He wants you to do it carefree. He wants you to do it without fear. He wants you to do it off of His resources and not your own. You see, that's another idea. Life is like this desert. And God's calling me to walk this desert by faith with Him every step of the way. You see the point? You see what I'm talking about? All right. So we've got to live on this rough, rugged terrain. It's not all fun and games. It can be hard. But if we live this life, even in this desert, even there, if you live that life, even there in that desert, you can live without lack. Now, here's the challenge set before us. You got two pictures side by side right there. You got a choice to make. In life, you can see the desert. That's the difficulties, the impossibilities, the big mountains you got to climb, whatever they might be. Lack. Not much there. Really, it's not. It's rocks. Not much there at all. Unless you know where to look. You can see the desert, or you can see your shepherd. According to Psalm 23, what did David suggest that we do? You going to keep your eyes on the desert? That's where all the anxiety and all the worry and fear comes. It's like, oh my goodness, you know what we got ahead of us? And April 15th is just right around the corner. My goodness, I got to do my taxes this week. I didn't have to bring that up, did I? Lord, got me off track. And you think about all that kind of thing. And you think about your finances. And you think about all the struggles you got to have. And maybe you got a diagnosis from the doctor. And you got all these things you got, these hills you got to climb. You can keep your eyes on the hills. You can look to those that desert and all the stuff that's ahead of you. And guess what's going to happen to you? Your heart's going to be full of anxiety. And you're going to be full of fear. Because you're going to come to the realization, and it's true, that you don't have what you need. And as long as you look at the circumstances, as long as you keep your eyes on all that dry, dusty, rugged terrain, as long as you look at that, you are going to be filled with worry. Always. Because it's hard. It's difficult. David said, I learned to keep my eyes on the shepherd. So as you walk through this desert called life, are you going to be more impressed with the landscape and the circumstances? Or are you going to learn to look to the good shepherd? And I promise you, the decision you make, and it's a daily decision really we make, the decisions you make about that are going to chart the course of your life and the state of your mind. Are you tracking with me? All right. Here's the miracle right here. If you've got him and you walk through that, even though that's a place that is baptized in lack and dryness, if you walk with him through that, you will have no lack. That's the miracle. Because see, after all, he is the God that can draw water right out of a rock. He's the God that can rain bread down from heaven if he wants to. There's no lack in him. That's why I got to look to him. That's why we gather and we worship and we remind ourselves. That's why we fill ourselves with his word and we talk to him and we share our struggles with him and we wait for his input, because we need the shepherd. Because if you're in that place, you need him. And that's life. So what makes the difference for the sheep in the life that he's living in this desert? What makes the difference is your shepherd. You know, a sheep by themselves in that old rugged terrain, what's the sheep going to do? It's going to just die. It'll be just a matter of time. They're going to die. Something's going to eat them up. They're going to fall off a cliff. They're going to starve. Spiritually, all that stuff's true in literal sense, but it's true for us spiritually too. Your shepherd's what makes it. So if you have even if you have a bad shepherd, you go through a tough situation like that, you have a bad shepherd, you're in trouble. All right? And know this, self-guided tours through the desert always end in death. And I'm telling you, self-guided tours in life where you're in charge and you're your own man, you're your own woman, doing your own thing, independent from God, that will always 110% end in death. Oftentimes in this life, but certainly for eternity. The difference will be determined by who is your shepherd and how closely do you walk with him. That'll be the difference, all right? And here's where the magic happens. Complete this for me. The Lord is
my shepherd.
You got to say it like you mean, my. The old girl from church said, my shepherd, you know, singing that stuff. He's my shepherd. That's where the magic happens right there. That God is not just the shepherd. He's not just the Almighty. He's my shepherd. And when you submit to him, you learn to live a different kind of life. And you find a life that has no lack. All right? This is where the point comes, where he leads, I follow. You know what your chief occupation is as a Christian? I mean, this calling is over everybody. You know, we all struggle to find our calling and our particular ministry and all that kind of thing. But here's a blanket calling that's over every single one of us. And if Jesus was to walk these streets of Carthage, Mississippi today, this is what he would say to you. Follow me. You realize that? That's the call to salvation, is follow me. And that's what God calls us to follow him. So wherever he leads, I follow. Right? So the blessing comes through the following, doesn't it? The blessing comes when you learn to follow him. It's the Psalm 23. It's the secret to no lack. It's the secret to no worry or to worry less. It's the secret to no fear. It's the kind of living and the kind of walking where we walk close to Jesus, our good shepherd. And being close to Him, I begin to feel and understand that I have everything that I need. And Jesus is the good shepherd. But what David found out, He's my shepherd. That's where the difference is. Girls, you want to come on up and sing this song? You want to come on up and just prepare? He can be all those things. The Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But if He's not your shepherd, you personally, all the things we're going to talk about in Psalm 23, it's not even going to apply. You see? Now, do the pictures kind of help you a little bit? Kind of seeing the terrain, seeing the idea. That's like life without God. That's life without your shepherd. But thank God through Jesus, we don't have to live like that, do we? Amen. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much. We thank You for Your goodness, for Your power, for Your majesty and Your might. And Lord, I pray for all of us as we just continue this journey through Psalm 23 and this wonderful life that You've given us to live out. If we just take another step, I just pray that for everybody here that You would help us to understand that You can be our shepherd, our personal shepherd. You can speak to us. We can hear Your voice. You can lead us and guide us and direct us. I pray You continue to put that hunger inside of us, Lord, to draw closer to You and to come into that fellowship and that union with You in such a way, that closeness, we can experience You like we've never done it before. Thank You, Lord. I bless Your people. I bless Your people.